Welcome to Roundtable Talk, a podcast about longevity, senior services marketing, and the quality of life as one ages. Roundtable Talk is brought to you by Pavone Group and Varsity, a senior services agency focused on helping clients win the mature market. If you like the fresh perspectives we deliver in each episode, please give Roundtable Talk a 5-star review on the podcast service of your choice. Hello, and welcome to another episode of Varsity's Roundtable Talk. Today's guest is Brian Freed, an accomplished inventor, author, and the founder and chief executive officer of Inventor Smart. Brian has helped countless inventors, many of them older adults, turn their ideas into real products. With more than 15 patents to his name, Brian is a true champion for creativity and lifelong innovation. Brian, welcome to Roundtable Talk.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Let's start with your work. Tell us about Inventor Smart and what inspired you to create it.
Well, I think about this quite often. As I was a young guy, just always looking at things and being curious how things worked, and ripping things apart from a creative, constructive way, not necessarily destructive, but just kind of seeing things a little bit differently in a way that when there was a problem, I wanted to solve it. And I realized that I would try to figure out how to actually accomplish figuring it out. And I turned out to be this problem solution guy. And as I got older and going through the stages of my life, started getting married and realizing that my wife was doing things in the kitchen and watching her do it, that maybe I could maybe come up with a way for her to do it differently and easier. And then having my daughter, Alana, and seeing all the different things that happen when you're a parent and what you have to use and all that type of experience and coming up with those type of things. And then just life itself. So you're doing all different things on a daily basis. And you just have to kind of stop and realize that there's things that are happening and maybe you can do them differently or maybe they don't exist. And that's how I continue to evolve into coming up with my own inventions. I have 15 issued patents. I've licensed products and earned royalties from them, manufacture products locally and overseas. And I've been doing the same thing as the inventor coach now for over 19 years. So I've authored 3 books and I have this community that I really think is very important for inventors, entrepreneurs, startups at all stages, and being able to bring everybody together to help each other out. So I have the National Inventor Club and my Inventor Smart community app. So that's how Inventor Smart kind of evolved. And here we are just talking about really interesting people that I've met along the way.
That's terrific. So you work with innovation of all age or inventors of all ages, as we've discussed, but you've worked with many older adults who've pursued invention later in life. What motivates them to take that step?
I would say there's a bunch of different messages that I've gotten over the years. So number one, maybe they're bored and they realize that they're doing something all these years and all of a sudden they have a better way to do it, or they might not have seen that it exists. And they say, you know what? Why don't I give it a shot? I have the time. I don't have the pressure from my career that I've done. I don't have to worry about raising kids or paying for college. And I have some funds. So why don't I give it a shot? And others maybe want to leave a legacy and maybe build this company that they can leave for their family. There's a lot of reasons, but it's very interesting to see people at all different ages, but seniors and people who are a bit older saying, you know what? I want to give this a shot. And it's fun. And I get a chance to do it with them.
I love that. Now, what are some common misconceptions about inventing that might hold older adults back?
I would say that when you come up with an idea, a lot of people are like, you know what? I came up with this great invention. I'm going to make a gazillion dollars. And all I want to do is, quote unquote, sell my idea. Well, it doesn't necessarily work that way most of the time. Maybe it could. Anything is possible. Realistically, going through and kind of putting things into perspective for them to understand, okay, So you came up with this idea, or you've been thinking about it for a while. Is this something that you can call your own? Is this something that is different than what's already existing out there in the market? And then, is there a big enough window of opportunity? Are enough people going to buy this invention to make it worth your while of investing your time, money, energy, effort into what you're doing? So just kind of evaluating all that with them to figure out if it's something that they should work on or not, something that they're going to put their money into and hopefully get some kind of return. If that's number one, some inventors or people that come up with ideas, they might be happy just putting a patent, hanging it up on the wall. And sure. Some people might be happy with just making a prototype and taking it out of their head and putting it in front of them. Everybody has different reasons, but just bringing something to life is something amazing. And watching people use your idea for the same reason that you came up with it is an unbelievable feeling and experience.
I bet that is really cool to have something, a need that you've discovered in your own life and see it realized, and then seeing other people having their own problems solved with what you have come up with. That's got to be a wonderful feeling.
Absolutely. I can give you a couple examples. Like, for example, Tony has been involved in IT. He was an IT executive on Wall Street, running the whole department and everything else. And obviously, time has evolved. And I help him occasionally with tech stuff these days. But he's been involved with wire and cable management, and he came up with a couple inventions, and there's one that is doing really well for us. We have an issued patent on it. I've been working with Tony for about 6 years now, and just coming up with a product called the Twistlock Grommet, and it's a grommet that has almost like wings that lock behind the wall when you twist it from the front. So it's a couple pieces, and when you twist it, it actually locks behind the wall, so it doesn't fall behind in the sheetrock. And we're selling a bunch of these every day on Amazon. So there's opportunities like this that you find a need in the market. And it's easy these days when you come up with an idea and you bring it to market, maybe to manufacture it, that you don't have to be in a major retail store. You can sell it online on Amazon, and you find some, like, for example, with Tony, to find some wire cable management electronics types of distributors to be able to sell. And he decided to go on his own with this. And thank goodness it's doing well. But Tony wants more every day. We got to find more. So he's a hunter, and we're hunting together, and he's kind of working on the operations, and I'm helping on the other side. And there's one other gentleman who I want to bring up, because there's a guy, his name is Peter. He's out of Florida. And he came to me with a whole portfolio of patents, I guess, because they weren't necessarily products. He made some prototypes. But he was like, you know, I want to try to license these. And licensing means that you're going to find a company that manufactures, distributes. They're already in the business. And you're going to add your product, your intellectual property, to their product line. They manufacture it, they distribute it, and you earn a royalty from it. So Peter, we tried to license his products, and they all said no. And it's not because his product sucks or I stink at pitching his product for him, but it's got to be the right time. They have to know that they're going to sell enough. It's just, there's a lot of variables. You catch somebody on the wrong day and they say no. You know, there was a point where I'm like, Peter, you have some pretty good ideas here. Why don't you manufacture it? He goes, what? Manufacturing? I definitely don't want to do that. Why? Well, it's too much work. It's too much money. Well, where'd you get that from? I have this feeling that's what it is. So I started to go through with him to figure out how much he actually needed to manufacture. And it's interesting. He has a product called Pill Spoons. And let me take it right out of the package here. So he doesn't like when you open up a pill bottle and you pour it into the cap and then you pick it up. Sometimes you don't pour it exactly in the cap, it falls all over the floor. Or you put it in your hand and then you put it back into the bottle. He didn't like that. So he came up with this kind of stick, a pencil size, and on both sides has these kind of tilted angled scoops. And one is for small pills and one is for larger pills. And all you have to do now is just dip it right into the pill
bottle.
That's
amazing.
And straight up, pull it up, and you have your pill in your hand. I just used it for Advil before because I have a little headache. But I'm just saying, like, so I worked with Peter to get his product manufactured, and now it's on Amazon. And every time there's an order that comes in, even before our episode here, and I sent him the email that somebody on Amazon just bought it, and he's got very, very funny remarks, you know, that I'm selling it on the streets in New York City and all these things. And it's just, I'm so happy for him. I'm happy for Tony that they're selling products and people are buying them and they're enjoying it. Sometimes everything is not all, you know, works out perfectly. There's challenges along the way and there's things that you want to do that you have to figure out, but it's just, it's fun. And I think it's definitely stimulating their minds and they're definitely keeping me busy.
Absolutely. So do you find that, like with Tony and Peter that you've referred to, and I'm sure there are countless others, do you find that life experiences give older adults an advantage when developing new ideas?
Yes. When they're working on, let's say, something that, like Tony, for example, he's had a career in IT and wires and cables and all that. So he kind of related his invention to his industry. Peter, I guess maybe he had to take some pills, or he's watching other people take pills and spilling them all over the floor, or getting the other ones full of germs of somebody else or what, or getting it. So I think that everyday life experiences kind of get that spark in their heads. And I think it's for anyone because, you know, anybody can be an inventor. You could be a doctor, lawyer, unemployed, senior citizen, student. At some point or another, you're coming up with an idea. And the question is, are you going to stop and work on it? Or are you going to be one of those, you know what? I invented something 25 years ago and, you know, I woulda, coulda, shoulda, but here it is today. Right. And I think that's what happens. You know, like for me as an inventor, I've had products. I was on QVC myself for almost 3 years. I have products that have been on As Seen on TV. And I'm not coming up with rocket science inventions. I mean, I'm working with people that have wind turbines and different devices, medical devices, and that's all great. But sometimes some of the simple products also can do well. And it's something that people can use and be useful. So like during COVID, particularly, I was kind of annoyed with all the paper goods that you couldn't find anything. So I was kind of like looking at what people were doing, especially in my house. So I had a paper towel roll on a stand. And every time somebody's hands were wet or dirty, they would put one on top of the paper towel roll, pull the sheet off, and it would get disgusting on the top. So I'd ask my friends and family, take a picture of the top of the paper towel roll. Let me see it. And it was disgusting. I'm exaggerating this one a little bit that I'm showing your audience who are watching, but just imagine your paper towel roll with chocolate, tomato sauce, wet, dried up, orange juice. So what I did was I came up with this cap that goes into the inner tube of any paper towel roll. So now when your hands are wet or dirty, you put it on top, you pull the sheet off, and it stays clean and dry.
Interesting.
So this is just a regular seller on Amazon, just a simple problem solution that people use. And that's what I think, no matter what age, to be able to just have that mindset of, you know what, stop and capture it before it's gone. And what do you do next? That's what I hope that people find me to be able to help them to get to where they want to go.
That's interesting. Now, how do people find you?
I put out a lot of content. Okay. And I do it because I want people to understand what it takes. Number one, the ideation part of actually stopping and capturing that idea and just putting them through, because people are at all different stages. You can be retired and say, you know what? I want to be an inventor. Some people don't even know what an invention, like they don't call themselves an inventor, but maybe they came up with something or they see something that's annoying them and they want to work on it. But when you think about it, you wake up, you have an alarm clock that's going off, you're in the bathroom, you're using different things in the bathroom, then you're in the kitchen and making a sandwich or eating breakfast or whatever. There's all things that you're using, kitchen gadgets. Then you're in a car, or maybe you're in a taxi or your public transportation. There's so many things that you're doing every single day, depending on kind of your routine. And you could be a people watcher, or you can do things and pay attention to things that you're doing, and then stop, and then figure out what's next. And that's what I love, is I put this content out so people can learn. And if they need me, I'm here to help as the inventor coach. And what I do is I beat the crap out of the idea with you to make sure that if you're going to work on it, that it's going to be something worth your while. And if it's not, then you wait and you move on to the next idea. And that's okay too.
Sure. Now, you've talked about Tony and Peter as a couple examples. Mm-hmm. Do you have another favorite story that you can share about an older inventor who successfully brought a product or what have you to life?
Absolutely. So I have another lady. Her name is Alexis. And she was in the needle sewing business. I think that's the terminology. But I'm so proud of her because she built a company from one product, and she started to manufacture it. And then when people came to see her product, she had other products that were selling. So she built a brand, and she built it up to a point where she said, you know what, I've been doing this for a while. I've taken it to a certain point of where I could take it. And she ended up selling her company.
Wow.
And that's just recent. And I'm so proud of her experience. It wasn't, again, not all easy working with manufacturers in different countries and working on deliveries and how to sell, how to pitch the buyers, dealing with buyer challenges. It was frustrating, but just having somebody to be able to talk with, and I think to be able to help make decisions. And again, I don't have all the answers, but doing this for almost 20 years, listening to success stories, listening to people with challenges, and just kind of being intuitive in a way can help to make better decisions for people. And that's what I really love to do.
Sure. So what is the first step that someone should take when they think they've got an idea for an invention?
We talked about number one, capture that idea. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, poof, it's gone. Capture it. You can text yourself, email yourself, tell somebody before it's gone. You're at a light and all of a sudden someone honks at you and poof, it's gone. So capture it. The next thing to do is to do a patent search with a patentability opinion is what I call it. So basically, you take your idea. Well, even before that, you can go on Google, you can go on Yahoo, you could go on Bing and put in a descriptive term of what your invention is. And then click on images and look to see what's already out there. If there's enough of a difference, then okay. Cap still like kind of copy paste those URLs and just make a kind of a log for yourself. But if it's out there and you're hitting that brick wall, then just stop and wait for the next one. But look to see what's out there and be real. You know, there's a lot of times where people just, they go online and they're searching and they close their eyes and they don't want to know that it's there because they want to be a gazillionaire. They have this feeling that it's going to be something special. And that's all great, but I want you to work on something that you could call your own. Or they even go down the aisle at Walmart and they say, oh my gosh, it's not in the stores. I'm going to be a gazillionaire. So be realistic. Capture the idea, go online and search and see if it's out there and if it's enough of a difference, and then do this patentability search where you're taking what you know of your idea and how you can describe it and what's already existing and give it to a patent attorney or a patent agent that can communicate to the about your invention and compare what you have to what's already existing out there in the market or in the patent archives. And see if it's enough of a difference to be able to call your own. If it's patentable, then you can decide on making and taking the next steps of making a prototype and getting a patent and trying to license it for royalties or manufacture, all that. Or did you hit a brick wall? Is it something that's somebody else's invention? Well, if you do it, then you're infringing, right? Or if it's older, where it's over 20 years old for a utility patent or 15 for a design patent, that means that you can still make it and sell it, but you most likely won't be able to get a patent on it.
Sure.
So you can have multiple people selling the same thing because it's not patented, it's in the public domain. So there's options out there, but those are the main ones that I think to get started when you do have an idea before you move forward.
Sure. Now, you know, you were talking about prototypes and filing patents and such. Bringing an invention to life can be expensive from, as we're just saying, developing the prototypes, filing patents and such. It can be a real challenge for older adults on a fixed income. For those with big ideas but limited budgets, what low-cost ways exist to test or protect an idea?
And that's the thing is, what does expensive mean? It's people have different perceptions of what that means, right? So a lot of times, before you start to go into all that, that's why I'm saying to just go online and search and see if, be real, and see if it's something that you should continue or not. And then if you do, depending on what you're coming up with, if it's a wind turbine or if it's a kitchen gadget, it's going to cost differently. So I try to do things on a shoestring budget. I don't care if you're a gazillionaire, an NFL player that connected with me, or a celebrity, or somebody that is on Social Security. If you need to, you wait for each of the stages until you have enough saved up. Okay? So when you start off, do that search, then maybe make a prototype. You can make a crude prototype. I used to take things apart, rip things apart, and make my own prototype, just to be able to show it and get as close as I can as possible to the real thing. And if I'm pretty close to what I have, then great, I can move forward and try to get some patent protection. If I am not, if it's too much for me, then I can have an industrial designer rather than an engineer that can do some simple design work. If it's something that has twists and turns and gears and all that, then maybe you do need a type of engineer. You can find freelancers out there that can help, and you're helping them and they're helping you because it's extra work for them and it's something you need that you want to take out of your head and bring to life. So relative to what your idea is what it's going to cost. So it could be a couple hundred dollars, it could be $1,000, it could be $3,000, $5,000, medical devices, more. So I think kind of putting that into perspective is one, then making the prototype. These days, it's pretty easy to make prototypes. You have all these 3D printers that are now desktop printers. I mean, I'm going to be 52 in a couple weeks. And when I first started my invention journey, I was trying to find somebody with a 3D printer. There's industrial engineers that were out there. Now you can get a 3D printer and put it on your desk at home, like an inkjet printer. So it's a lot easier to kind of take what's in your head, get a CAD file done, rip things apart, make a prototype, whether it's yourself or 3D print, and now you have that. And then if it's something that you want to continue moving forward with, then you can get a provisional patent application. And that's a filing. And actually, the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office has special rates for seniors. I believe that that's what it still is. I know that the pricing and things change often, but I believe that they have fast track for inventors that are seniors and also less expensive rates. So when you come up with that, you want to try to get patent protection, you become patent pending by filing a provisional patent application. It gives you the right for 1 year to say you're patent pending while you're exploring the market. So maybe you're trying to license it to earn royalties. So that's all you spent so far.
Sure. Good.
Or you manufacture, and then you want to go a little bit further. And yes, you have the non-provisional patent application, then you have the CAD, and then manufacturing and tooling and relative to what the product is. But look, you can get things done on a shoestring budget. And what I've done over the years is build a network of freelancers and companies that give great pricing, great service, and I watch my inventors' back to make sure that the people who we're working with are doing a good job. So anything is possible.
That's great. Well, you know, so turning an idea into a market-ready product doesn't happen overnight, as we've been talking about. What's a realistic timeline for taking an invention from concept to commercialization? I realize it varies widely based on what the idea is, what the product is, but what should an older adult expect if they're jumping into this?
Okay. So let's start from scratch. You came up with the idea. Now you're going to do your own search, take a day or two, let it settle in. Then you maybe get a request for a patent search with a patentability that might take 2 weeks. So we're at, call it two and change weeks. Then you work with a CAD file, let's say, or you're trying to make a prototype that might take a month. Then let's say you're trying to manufacture it. You want to find factories and kind of go through that. It could take 30 days. Let's say you want to manufacture it like you were talking about. It takes 30 days to up to 60 days for tooling to be made, then 30 days for production, then 30 days to ship it. And now you have 5,000 units in your garage. Now what?
Sure.
So realistically, you can have within 3, 4, 6 months, you can have finished products in your garage.
Okay. Interesting. So shifting for just a moment, this is a question that every Roundtable Talk guest gets. What are you looking forward to as you age?
Things to get easier, even more easier. I think AI has definitely made life easier. Being able to research and put things in a way that can be communicated well. Like, for example, people come to me and I can help them with so many different things using AI. And one thing that I've really loved recently is when I share my screen with the inventors and even the seniors that I work with, and I show them AI, and we kind of talk to it, and what it responds back is unbelievable. And I love that they call me up and they're like, yeah, I downloaded ChatGPT or Claude and I'm using it. And oh my gosh, I use it for everything. I upload my medical records and x-rays and everything else. So it's really, I think that that's really going to be a game changer for me as I get older, is counting more on AI. And the research always takes me a long time. And even 3D printing. 3D printing, I mean, I love it. It takes a long time to print something. And it's still the filament and everything else. Like, I send things out to get printed, but I know it still takes a while. And the other thing, as I get older, is my legacy that I'd like to leave for people out there is that if I can do it, you can do it too. And I try to put all this content out there for people to pick up information, guidance, without having help, but it definitely helps to have the help, but you could do it and work on things that are going to get you the return of what you're looking for. And again, whether it's the having a patent on the wall, being a gazillionaire inventor, whatever it is that you want, I put the content out there. I interview as many people as I can in various sectors and even like, is your invention a tax write-off? How do you get grant money? How do you file for a copyright? I bring people from the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office on and SCORE mentors. You know, a lot of seniors that were retired executives are now part of SCORE mentors, which is a part of the Small Business Administration. And I've had the opportunity to work as a SCORE. I've been doing a bunch of webinars for them nationally, and it's just a great experience. But there's so many people out there that don't even know about SCORE and the resources that are available. So just being able to make it easier for people to find the content and resources out there. And that's something that's helped me, and I want to continue to do that.
Sure. Yeah. And we've had Bridget Weston, the outgoing CEO of SCORE Mentors on the podcast, and she's a wonderful resource. But you know, you mentioned AI and 3D printing and such. Do you see any downsides to AI when it comes to creativity? Is it almost too powerful where it's thwarting creativity, or is it really just simply a tool for good?
You know, we could have said the same thing about computers when you think about it. I'm just thinking about it for the first time, this question. And I think it's a way for us, it's a support.
Sure.
So it's kind of there for me. Like I think for myself, but I put it in and I can confirm it, or I can put it in, but I still have to beat my AI up a little bit to get it to what I want. I mean, it still makes mistakes from what I'm looking at, or it's still not correct, or it's not how I want. So I keep talking to it and talking and refining and refining. And I guess that's what people did when computers came out and the internet, right? You still have to kind of vet and make sure that the information is accurate. But as it gets more powerful, hopefully there's less of that you need to do. But it's important. I think it's good as a support, not necessarily thinking for us.
Sure. Nope. Good point. So beyond the AI and such as we've been talking about, are there any other specific technologies or platforms that have been particularly helpful for older inventors?
I think that being able to have a CAD file, let's say, done by somebody or yourself even, because some of the programs are so easy, and then being able to upload it to a website and then all of a sudden getting a 3D print in your mailbox in a couple of weeks is pretty cool. Then being able to create an account and upload some pictures and put a price on your product. I mean, it's getting really easy. And analytics and ways of just kind of user-friendly UI and UX that are out there just make things much easier for people, no matter what age you are. But I think that just having the information at your fingertips and just being able to have your phone or your laptop or your iPad or tablet, however you're finding this, is so much easier for people these days. And I think that's so important. And I love seeing older people using technology because it's there for us and you don't have to resist it. Use it because it's here for us, and hopefully it makes your life easier and save time so you can use your time to do other things.
Sure. And I think it is really interesting. One of the points that you alluded to here, it's one thing to have an idea to bring it to life and manufacture a prototype and maybe even manufacture a stock. But then it's the distribution. It's selling it in somewhere. And I know you've referenced Amazon a couple of times. With that, you don't even really have to sell it in anywhere. You can have a marketplace if you have some marketing savvy or resources who can support you in that. But an older adult could have it in market and have that opportunity to actually impact people's lives and generate income.
It doesn't take much these days. You don't need to be in a major retail store to be successful. You could go to your favorite street fair and set up a table and sell it. You could put it on eBay or Amazon. And if you don't know how to do it or you choose not to do it, it's very easy to find somebody who can. And then be able to just kind of handle some of the basic logistics. And if you're not sure how to do it, then find somebody that can. I kind of set up Tony and Peter that we referenced earlier on how to sell. And I kind of managed the selling side of it. They came up with the idea and they handled some of the operations and they're happy and I'm happy. And, they're making money, which is sure. Nice.
Hey, that's nothing wrong with that. So what role does your Inventor Smart community app play in connecting and empowering inventors, particularly older inventors?
It's very nice. I love it. National Inventor Club is in the Inventor Smart community app. And I've been running inventor groups for, I believe it's 17 years now. During COVID, I went online and started having my group meet online. And I was like talking to people all over the country. I'm like, I'm having this meeting. It's for New York Long Island Inventors Club. And you're in Texas, you're in Florida, you're in Georgia. Why don't you just come on? And I'm like, this is silly. I'm going to change this to National Inventor Club. And I did. in January of 2020, I believe, or 21. I forgot the dates already. See what happens when you get older. And all of a sudden, it turned into 15,000 people now, active. And then
that's amazing.
Invent a Smart Community app is also another thing. So I loved having the monthly meetings, but in between the meetings, it was like, hey, see you next month. So what I did was I came up with this Invent a Smart Community app because in between the months, I wanted people to still talk, communicate, help each other, collaborate, have different events. Tonight, we're doing a meet and greet in the app. Then we have a book club. We have all these different things. And I have many seniors that are coming on and hanging out and talking and learning and sharing their experiences. And they know somebody and the other one knows somebody and they're meeting in their areas all over the country. And that I love. And that's the reason why I invested in building the Invent a Smart Community app and keeping it going and just continuing to expand on the activity, whether it's in person or on the app or within the app. That's what it's all about, is just being able to help each other and connect and keep people moving forward with their big ideas.
Sure. So I'm curious, what percent of your investor community that you work with would you guesstimate are over 60, 65, or retired, or whatever the threshold might be?
I'd say the inventors that are in my community and network, I would say over 65, I would say 25%.
Okay, at least. Wow. That's great.
At least 25, 30%. Yep.
So looking ahead, how do you think digital tools will continue to transform the invention process?
Easier for bringing products to market. Just the other day, the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office has a new search tool to kind of look for prior art, which is important. So sure. Instead of having a patent search done, you know, I think it's still important, but just I think a lot of things that we have to do ourselves right now and pay somebody else to do will allow us to do it ourselves. Sure. And being able to, like we said, having the information, but really having the information much easier in front of us. And just, again, knowing kind of the sources or resources to use and to go to is what I am making sure to keep my finger on the pulse for myself and for other inventors out there. But yeah, I mean, searching is important, 3D printing or finding ways to do prototypes. Patenting is kind of an art in itself that, you know, you still need a doctor. Right? I mean, people are self-diagnosing themselves, but there's still doctors out there that you still have to go to. So I think it's kind of the same thing if you look at it from that perspective, is the support and then the actual action that needs to be taken. So I hopefully it just, and to be able to get things out quicker. I'm looking for the innovations that are changing or that will change the world for better. And a lot of times we're using things for our, I'm looking for things that work for us rather than us work for them.
Sure.
That's smart. And that's how I feel like the world is going to evolve.
That's wonderful. So, you know, when we think about innovation in aging and longevity, where do you see the biggest opportunities for innovation in products or services for older adults? We've been talking a lot about older adults themselves being the inventors, and some of them might be producing, and a lot of them are probably producing products for people like themselves. But where do you see that, the biggest opportunities for innovations for older adults?
I think the everyday inventions are still important. And I was on QVC with a product called Pull Ties, and it was interesting because I originally came up with this as a bag sealer and for bread. And if I just went on and I said, this is for bread, maybe you eat bread, maybe you don't, but I didn't like the twist ties or the plastic tabs that they came with. So I came up with this product called Pull Ties. So you take any plastic bag, cereal bag, freezer bag, you put it through this loop, this, and you pull this, push this button, you pull it up and it seals it tight. So the point I'm making is that I went on and I said, yes, this is for bread. This is for cereal bags that are left open because I didn't like stale cereal. In the freezer, you can use this for freezer bags for your French fries and those big bags that you buy of vegetables. In the pantry and here and there. So at the end of the day, I was on air and I said, how many people have a kitchen? So I think evaluating what the window of opportunity is really important. Now, maybe you play golf and you came up with this amazing golf ball or some golf product and you believe that everybody in the world wants to play, is going to use this new golf invention. But not everybody, when you're on the golf course and you're looking around, everybody plays golf. You think everybody in the world is going to play golf. But when you step out and you ask people, do you play golf? Maybe some do, maybe some don't. And the point is that, is it a niche market? Is there a big enough window of opportunity for you to, again, invest your time, money, energy, effort into it? Or is it something that everybody can use? And that's what I do is when you come up with an idea and you show it to me, maybe you believe that it was for this first priority. Maybe, right? It's something to aid something. But you know what? Maybe it's this because that'll give you mass market and that might be third or fourth on the list. So I think that's important to figure out.
Sure, sure. So how can inventors, especially older ones, collaborate with organizations in the senior living or longevity space? Have you had any experience or involvement with that?
Wow. Can you imagine that in the living senior spaces that they have their own inventor groups and maybe this mind brainstorming sessions? That would be kind of cool to put into assisted livings and those type of environments. But I think when you do have an inventor, just the way I love to teach kids and plant the seeds of innovation for them, if there's that inventor that's listening and watching that says, you know what, I'm going to a senior group or I'm in an assisted living and I've had inventions in the past and I start bringing up to other people, maybe they can form their own groups within their communities. And that would be very nice.
Yeah, a lot of communities, most I would say have some sort of, whether it's a wood shop or an art studio or, crafting studios, more and more are moving to just a general makerspace, which, that sort of a concept does leave it open for people to really get creative. And I could see there being that potential connection to the senior living organizations.
Well, that I would love to look into that a little bit more and maybe go visit or support those type of communities. I haven't, I still have a little time until I find out, but I'm going to look into it now.
Sure. So last question, what have you learned that you wish you could have told your younger self? I mean, as you said, you still have a lot of years in front of you, but what do you wish you could have told your younger self based on your lived experiences?
And this is the reason why I do what I do today when I think about it, is when I first started, I made a lot of mistakes. I spent a lot of money. I talked about time, money, energy, effort. Yes, I spent a lot of that in my own way. And you know why? Because you have this feeling that this like emotional feeling when you come up with an idea that you say, you know what, this is going to change my life. I am going to be a gazillionaire millionaire from this invention, and I don't care what gets in my way, I'm just going to keep driving forward. And now you have to take away that emotion and think about what you're doing from a business perspective, because just like any business that you're starting, you have to do your research and development. You got to put your money in, and what kind of investment? Is this a good business decision? And that's what I have figured out along the way, is work on things that are going to get you the return that you're looking for. And that's what I share with people out there, because they call me up on a rampage of excitement. And when you start to break it down and you go, whoa, 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 I hear you. I know your invention is the greatest thing since sliced bread, but you know what? Let's figure out if it really is yours, if it's going to make you money, how much time and effort and energy you're going to put in and what your return is. How do you want to do it? I learn about you. I learn about your product idea. And then I figure out if it's something you should work on or not. You're the boss. You'll make the final decision. But that's so important. And that's what I've become an expert at. and just helping people to make better decisions before they move forward with coming up with an idea. It's very exciting, but let's work on things that make sense.
That's terrific. Brian, thank you so much. We've been talking with Brian Fried, an accomplished inventor, author, and founder, and CEO of Inventor Smart. Thank you, Brian. Appreciate your time today.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. And I'm Derek Dunham. Thank you also to Dave Schaffner, our producer, and Matt Campbell, our engineer. We'll see you next time on Roundtable Talk.